What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. 12:44 in the afternoon. Art Rooney II has just spoken over there. We are going to break down a lot of what he had to say after Mike Tomlin decided that that was it yesterday, and he is going to move on. And the way it sounds like he's not going to be back in coaching at least this season. I fully expect that he will, but it's that time. You just need a little break, and apparently, you know, family decisions as well. A lot of it gets involved, and so the search is on for a new Steelers head coach. So, Austin, we've run down a lot of names here. One name that I didn't throw out, and I noticed it's on the field, but I can't believe this name is even on a list, and that's Brian Daboll.
That's a fascinating name. I would think that a coach that was fired in season by the Giants would not be the guy that they would go after, but then again, we were talking about the Browns coach that might end up being the best candidate.
It's not that I don't think he's a good football mind. It's just that's not the fit they're looking for here. They're looking for something
young.
Who's that,
Bob?
Daboll, he's on a list here that time I've ever seen his name on a list.
No, I'm not.
It's going to be somebody young, emerging, and I think they like what they've done with their previous three hires. The same kind of script may follow. We'll see. In other words,
young. Does it have to be that? A young defensive coordinator?
But I think their preference is, it doesn't have to be a young coordinator, preferably, or someone in a system.
Yeah.
Who's regarded? They'll do their homework and find through conversations. You know, I'm sure Mike Tomlin emerged that way. You know, give him a chance and he comes in an interview. They had their mind made up and he changed their mind. So there's a long way to go. Although I got to imagine this has got to be done. What would you give it? You know, they have a draft coming. There's a lot of stuff coming to Pittsburgh.
That's a great question, Bob, because that's one of the questions that Art answered.
Do you have it here now?
Here it is.
What is the timeline of getting another coach in here?
You know, I don't want to put an exact time frame on it. We'll get started right away, and it'll take weeks at least, I would say. Nowadays there are a number of protocols we have to follow that are sort of really designed to slow the process down, and so as I say, it'll probably take at least a few weeks.
Now, Limits, are we going to go with choice quotes, or do we have the whole thing?
We have the full thing.
Would you like to just start from the beginning?
Let's do it. Here's Art's opening.
And then if we raise our hands, we'll just we'll interrupt and go from there.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. As you know, yesterday Coach Tomlin and I met, and Mike informed me of his decision to step down as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it was an emotional day for everybody in our organization yesterday. Mike's been a great leader of our franchise now for 19 years and led us with toughness, integrity, and always reflected the values of our organization. I think you all know his many accomplishments, two Super Bowl appearances, one Super Bowl victory, many AFC North titles, and many, many wins. And bottom line was, we were always in contention with Mike and that's what counts. More than his accomplishments, Mike was a
May I jump in?
I figured you would.
That's what counts? I thought what counted was first winning championships, but were they really in contention? When's the last time you felt they were actually in contention? For a brief time, I did this year, but for the most part, Bob, over the past several years, they feel like a fringe playoff team that really is not in contention for anything meaningful other than possibly a playoff win, and they never even came close.
I think.
But when he said that's what counts.
What counts is, I think his message there is you've got to be in this until the end and give yourself a shot. And if I had to go back and look, I would have thought that, the 2020 year, was that the one that started the COVID year, 11-0, and they were really going?
Yeah.
I thought that, and then it just completely petered out at the end. So, but I think that's the message he's trying to send. You want a coach that has an opportunity to get you to where you need to go. And then when you get there, I'm sure he's not happy with the results when you get there.
I don't know. That was, I won't say a Freudian slip, but that just didn't sound right. We're always in contention, and that's what counts. I mean, What counts is banners. What counts is runs, at least making a playoff run once in a while, right?
So 2017 is the last time that they were realistically a true contender then.
And somebody also has to remind a lot of people out there that every single one of those Lombardi trophies was born of losing, of a losing season. It's okay to have one. It really is. In fact, it's how you start to win again in a lot of cases. That's how Franco Harris got here and Terry Bradshaw and Joe Green, Mel Blount, everybody else, and certainly how Ben got here. Their last losing season got them Ben, and who's most responsible for the non-losing streak since then.
And it happens in all sports. You saw it with the Penguins, what they needed to do, hit rock bottom before I get all that. But there's also the other side of that where you can hit rock bottom and stay there for quite some time because you mangle things after that. So I think what he was referring to is that you have to be at least in this hunt, get to a point. They've been in the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years, and I agree with your point that they weren't looked at as serious contenders necessarily, but they got there. And I think that was his point.
Please continue, Limits.
And respected leader, cared deeply about our players, our staff, and the whole Steeler organization. He represented the Steelers with class and dignity every single day. And on behalf of my family, everyone connected with the Steelers, I want to thank Mike and his family for being part of Steelers football for the last 19 years. We'll always be grateful.
That part, I concur. Mike Tomlin was a great representative of the city, widely respected, beloved within the organization. That part I absolutely sign up.
And he's done a lot of things that people don't even know about in terms of community involvement with things. And also, I just think the respect he has from his players. You know, every Thanksgiving he opened up his house. If you don't have a place to go, come over. We'll take, you know, we have a good time. All of you are invited. And I think he has that, you talked about, that ability to stand in front of players and get them to buy into what he's doing. Now, you know, when you talk about X's and O's, every coach has issues, and he certainly had his and challenges and all this stuff. But I think that's what made him who he was, his ability to do it. He can communicate. He can extend his message. And they need somebody like that as well. But they also need someone who has, you know, schematically more things, especially offensively, I think, in his tank.
And now, obviously, we turn to our search for our next head coach. Omar and I will lead the search, and we'll rely on others in the organization to help as we go forward. So look forward to getting started with the search and starting with the next chapter of Steelers football.
So, open it up for questions.
Bob, are you inspired by the fact that Omar and Art will lead the search?
Well, he also said others. I think there will be a lot of people involved, but they're going to be heading up the search. But I think they're probably going to want input from a lot of people. I think Andy Weidel is a guy, too, who will have input.
Yeah.
I'm sure his son will have some input, too. You know, again, Art II has been part of this. He was involved in the Cowher search. He was involved in the Tomlin search, certainly. So, you know, he's been through this. And I know they utilized a lot of people in those other two searches. It wasn't just him. So, we'll see.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Questions? Or did you get any sense over the past couple weeks, months, that Mike was possibly leaning in this direction, and it was his decision alone?
Well, it was his decision, and you know, I will say that I wasn't shocked, but I wasn't expecting that conversation yesterday either. You know, there were, you know, when you get to this stage of a career, obviously, he even mentioned it himself that he was nearer to the end than the beginning, and so, you know, you could see that coming, and so, as I say, I can't say that I was shocked.
I take everything I hear. This isn't just Steeler centric. It's everything I hear in pro sports or politics or everywhere else. Look at with a very cynical eye. I wonder what went on behind the scenes. I always wonder.
And there's always more to every story.
The Steelers
know that.
Yeah, of course. The Steelers themselves have put a nice face on situations where, to put it quite bluntly, a lot of people felt like they lied. Bruce Arians is a great example. He retired. We wish him well. No, he didn't. Art fired him. Not Mike, because Mike was ready to have him back. Art fired him. A lot of people think Art stepped in and fired Matt Canada, that wasn't Mike's decision. So call me cynical, and it doesn't matter in some ways because Mike is now done. But I just don't believe at face value everything I hear from Art or any owner, GM, coach, or in pro sports.
I just think that's part of how they do business. Not going to tell you all the things that led up to whatever decision it was.
Right.
Certainly it goes deeper. Certainly there are a lot of things involved that we will never know about.
Of course. I wonder if Mike thought that he wasn't going to get that option year triggered? Yeah, I wonder about that. I wonder about a lot of things. What influenced this decision? It seems so nice and tidy, and that ain't the way it works a lot of the time. Things aren't nice and tidy at the end.
But I think that's true of every profession.
I see it
in our business. There are things that happen, and you're never going to get to the bottom because people aren't going to say anything about what actually led to it. So you're left to believe what you want to believe, and
you
can have cynicism because that leads to it. I don't have any problem with that, but I also know that this is what you're going to get. And I believe what he said, that this was more of I'll use burnout. I keep using that word. To me, that's a multifaceted word because it takes into account a lot of things that could lead to a burnout situation. Family, obviously, I know for a fact that over the time that I've done the show with him, that he's talked about, man, I wish I could have been there. He's missed those opportunities.
Just odd that it would suddenly happen in year 19 when he's about to pass Chuck Knoll and all those other things.
Well, that's another reason. He said he's not interested in numbers. I think this proves that. If he wanted to get that number, he could have very easily done it, stayed here for another year. But that wasn't what's driving him at this point of his life or career. So, I just think there's a lot more layers to everything.
To everything.
Right.
So as I hear this, Well, I don't necessarily believe it all, but I'm listening to it. Go ahead.
To give Mike the extension on his contract for 2027 in March, and did he ask for that?
No, I'm not going to get into his contract at this point. I was certainly willing to, take another run at it next year with Mike, and that's what I was expecting to talk about yesterday, but obviously went in a different direction.
Bob, they were going to take another run at it. Oh, my God. Like, how many more runs were you going to take before you realize this ain't working, that you get blown out every year and now worse than ever?
Well, I think also, their view of this, too, and I think, we talk about other sports, just getting to, what will it take for the Pirates to get to? What will it take for the Penguins to get to? You want to win divisions. That's a big priority. If we started at the beginning of the season and said, no matter how it unfolded, that the Steelers would win the AFC North, I think most of us would say, well, that's... I don't see that coming. I think Baltimore and Cincinnati are going to be better for obvious reasons, a quarterback, whatever. So, again, I think talking to them over the years enough to know the priority is get to. That's a priority. It's not their standard. You're right. They need to win those games, and they haven't done so. They have been bad, dominated in every one of those seven games.
Would you have brought back Tomlin?
Well, I told you last year I would have gone into, before you got the last extension, I would have tried to see one more year and see where it took me.
It took you to the worst home playoff loss in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I understand that, but they also won a division. So
let's be honest. They won a division because two other teams fell apart and because of a missed field goal. I still give them credit for that, but this wound up in a worse place than any other of these playoff games.
Maybe so, but I think those matter to them.
Would you have brought them back? I wouldn't have.
No, I think, like I thought with Sullivan too, there is a time. Like I said, I have a lot of respect for everything he's done and what he's done specifically with us and our show that we do. But I also think there is an expiration on all coaches. I always have believed that. 19 years is a long time. And he'll have success wherever he goes again. And they needed, a new start here. And we'll see where it takes them.
Mr. P?
That conversation last with Mike yesterday?
Probably 15, 20 minutes, something like that.
How long before the team meeting did he let you know that that's what's going to be his plan?
I guess it was late morning or something like that.
Every year there's scrutiny and criticism that a coach faced, but you may have reached a different level this year with the fire Tomlinson. Did you get a sense of talking with him how maybe the fan reaction or negativity may have influenced his decision?
I think that I'll leave it to him to explain to you someday what all went into his decision. I think that in my mind and the discussion we had, it was probably more of a fated decision than a football-related decision. But as I say, I don't want to speak for Mike on that.
Well, he wasn't asked whether it was a football-related decision. He was asked whether the fire Tomlin chants and all that stuff played into this.
Yeah, I
can't believe it. If we're going to accept that this was totally Tomlin's decision and it was predetermined and it was something that was gradually leading to this, it's hard for me to believe that fans turning on him like that in his own building wouldn't have played a role.
It very well might have. I mean, everybody's human. When you hear that kind of stuff, it has to have an effect, but I don't think it was the driving force of him leaving. I think it goes deeper than that, so...
Well, let's pick this up after the top of the hour, shall we? Oh, Limitless Wonder.
It's already 1 o'clock.
Limits has done an incredible job today, hasn't he, Bob?
Yeah, he has. The opening was sensational.
We missed the Cabali thing. I wanted to play this for Cabali. One of the highlights, I thought, of Tomlin's career and perhaps Cabali's was at the owners' meetings last year or 2 years ago. It was last year. Cabali asked Tomlin if he knew that DK Metcalf loved candy bars.
Apparently we have the same appetite for candy, me and DK. You hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Apparently he eats 4 or 5 candy bars a day.
Really?
Not me. Really? That's what he said on a podcast.
He wears it a little differently than you.
See, that's what I mean about his. He's got some pretty good wit, and he's a very funny guy that you
often
see. He
wears it a little differently than you. Cabali and Metcalf, two different bodies, yes? Limits?
I mean, I think their body types aren't as far off as people will try to make them to believe.
Maybe Cabali catches that ball the other night?
That's like Austin's metabolism. He can eat whatever he wants to eat, and he's still thin.
Bob, I saw the guy eat a steak the size of Mulsey's cranium
the other day. And you would never know it.
Yeah, and he's going to eat another one tonight when we celebrate our Marconi, isn't he? Bob's showing up late. He didn't even call in sick to show up at our party.
I think I'm going to miss it because...
What?
Unbelievable, Bob.
I have to work until 7.
Call in sick.
No, I would show up after 7, but if it's going to be discontinued and you guys are done, then what's the point?
Call in sick. Have Richie Walsh be there.
Wait, the party's over at 7 limits?
I don't know. I know it starts at 5.
It's just beginning. I plan to dance tonight.
That's 2 hours into it.
Yeah.
Maybe I can get a doggy bag to go.
You should.
Okay, excuse me.
Order the steak and lobster to go.
I'm with this group. Give me this, and this.
Bob, you will walk into the establishment and they'll probably already know who you are.
You'll have a king's chair waiting for you.
I've been to that
you.
Place, yes.
A throne.
It's very nice.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.